Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. This will be our sermon text this morning, and there are sermon notes in the back of the bulletin if you find those helpful. Well, in this letter so far, Paul has called the believers in the church of Philippi to live as citizens worthy of the gospel of Christ. And fleshed out, this means that there is to be unity and there is to be humility. They are to consider the interests of others as better than their own. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, Paul presents Jesus as the prime example of one who took the form of a servant and poured himself out for the benefit of others. And so if he, our Lord and our Savior and God, has done this, well, then we as his followers should likewise do the same. And so in this sense, Jesus is the Christian's model. And as the Holy Spirit works in the lives of those who follow Christ, by grace, they become more and more like Christ over time. Well, in today's passage, Paul presents two Christians, Timothy and Epaphroditus. He commends and honors both of these men. And so if Jesus is the Christian's model, these are two model Christians. And so even though they're very different from one another with different gifts and abilities and temperaments and personalities, each of these men lives a life of exemplary Christian service. And that is what all believers are to do by the grace of God working in them. So our main point this morning is that with joy and gratitude for God's mercy, live lives of exemplary Christian service. And so before we move any farther forward, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do give you thanks that you came to this earth as a humble servant. You poured yourself out even to death. Even death on a cross, so that we could be cleansed from our sin and made right with you. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit who conforms us more and more into your image, enabling us to die into sin and to live into righteousness. And I pray that your Spirit will do that work among us this morning. Pray that you would give me the words to say, that you would be lifted up and glorified. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, before we look at the exemplary service of these two men that Paul mentioned, I wanted to point out one exemplary trait in the Apostle Paul that each of us should also strive to emulate. In verse 19, Paul had stated, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon." And then in verse 24, he states, "And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also." I want you to see what is unique about Paul's attitude and Paul's future plans as he looks ahead. First, notice what he does not say. He does not tell the believers in the church of Philippi that he will definitely be released. Because of his Roman citizenship, he will have a fair trial. He doesn't know the future, and so Paul does not make promises that he can't keep. Rather, he acknowledges that he lives under the plan of God. He knows that God is sovereign over all things, whether that be his freedom or his imprisonment, whether it be his comfort or his discomfort, sickness or in health, or whether or not he'll actually be able to go and visit the Philippian church. The point is that Paul consciously thinks about God while making his plans. In other words, he is not presumptuous. So this brings us to our first point this morning. Exemplary service for the work of Christ avoids presumption. To be presumptuous means to make plans without God. Presumption is prideful. It exposes prayerlessness. It is a sin. A good scriptural example of the sin of presumption is found in Jesus' parable of the rich fool, which is told in Luke chapter 12. This rich fool was a man who was completely godless and self-centered in his thinking. His plans concerned only himself. The parable states that he was so successful that he had too much grain. And so he decided that he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger barns to store all of his crops. His goal was that he was going to take life easy. He was going to eat, he was going to drink, he was going to be merry. But little did he know that that very night his life would be required of him. You see, our plans fail. God's do not. The sin of presumption is refusing to acknowledge that we are entirely dependent upon God. It's presumptuous to arrogantly make future plans without regard for God's sovereignty and his providence. In other words, to make plans as if we are entirely in control of our future destiny. Like William Ernest Henley's famous poem, Invictus, presumption conveys the attitude of I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. Presumption is an arrogant sense of self-sufficiency and self-importance. It's thinking more of yourself and thinking of yourself more. Well, now, it's not wrong to have goals and to try to be responsible to plan ahead, but what are your goals? As you inspect them, are they selfish? Are they self-centered? Do they have only your best interest in mind? Or do your plans consider Christ? Do they consider his glory? Do they consider his church? And when you make your plans, are you making them prayerfully? Are you acknowledging God's providential control over all things pertaining to our life? Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was conveying when he wrote that he hoped in the Lord to send Timothy. And when he wrote, I trust in the Lord that surely I myself will come also. As Paul made plans, his hope and his trust were in the Lord, the sovereign ruler of all. And so as we make our future plans, let us not forget that it is only by God's will that our plans are carried out. Let's acknowledge our dependence upon him. Let us pray. Let us seek the Lord and consider how we might glorify him and serve his church, all the while acknowledging that he might have something completely different in mind for us. But the point is that an exemplary servant of Jesus avoids the sin of presumption. So after avoiding presumption, the Apostle Paul goes on to speak of Timothy and Epaphroditus. From these two model Christians, we see in our second point that exemplary service for the work of Christ humbly looks out for the interests of others. In verse 20, Paul says of Timothy, "For I have no one like him, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Paul had said earlier in this letter, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see, Timothy was doing this. He was self-giving and genuinely concerned for the interests of the Philippian believers. And especially since that he was with Paul in Philippi when this church was established, Timothy most assuredly loved them, served them, prayed for them, and worked hard for their benefit in the Lord. Timothy knew this church well, and they knew him. And in fact, Paul considered others whom he would consider to send to Philippi, he comes to the conclusion that there is no one like Timothy who is genuinely concerned for the welfare of the Philippian believers. And so as Paul writes this letter from a Roman prison, perhaps he remembers those in Rome who preached Christ out of envy and rivalry, trying to stir up trouble for Paul. He had mentioned these in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Perhaps he also remembers times when others had abandoned the work of the ministry to pursue their own selfish interests. So in verse 21, Paul implies that unlike those who seek their own interests, Timothy seeks the interests of Jesus Christ. And so what are Jesus' interests? Jesus loves his church. Jesus promises to build his church. And so Timothy lays all of his abilities and his resources at the feet of Jesus, ready to serve however he can. So in other words, exemplary service for the work of Christ is displayed in seeking the benefit of others in the Lord. That's what Timothy was interested in. That's what the church should be interested in. And that's what all who claim Christ should also be interested in. And so by the grace of God, may you seek the interests of others in the Lord. Well, in this passage, Paul also highlights the self-giving attitude and behavior of Epaphroditus. Like Timothy, he was a man who was devoted to others. He obeyed Jesus by enlisting himself to in service to other believers, both to the church in Philippi and to the Apostle Paul. He had been sent on a mission trip by the church in Philippi. He was to bring material goods to Paul. He was to minister to Paul's needs while he was in prison, and he was to assist in the ministry at Rome, however he could. But we read that in the process, he had become seriously ill, and he almost died. And so here is a man who almost died in his service to the Lord. And what is he concerned about? In verse 26, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, referring to Epaphroditus, "He has been longing for you all. He has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." So think about that for a second. He is more concerned with the people back home who are worried about him than he was about his own suffering. What a beautiful example of how much Epaphroditus looked out for the interests of others. What a model Christian he was. Too often we're more concerned about ourselves. Even as Christians, we're often more concerned about what does Jesus do for me? Will he give me peace? Will he give me happiness? Will he give me friendships and community? Will he take away my guilt and my shame? Will he provide for all of my needs? Will he help me to have joy? Me, me, me. And yes, Jesus does give believers all of those things, but those are not things in themselves to be sought after. We are to seek after Christ. All of these things are byproducts of seeking Jesus and his interests. It's Jesus' command that we be more concerned with others than we are about ourselves. Like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, and more importantly, like Jesus, are you looking out for the interests, the needs, and the concerns of others? It's certainly much easier said than it is done. Some of us may try with all of our effort to do this. You may think that you succeed for a day, perhaps maybe even a week. But in your own effort, you will fail. And in fact, apart from the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, this is impossible for you to be that selfless. However, if you're a Christian, through faith in Jesus Christ. You have been delivered from self-sufficiency, from selfishness, from self-centeredness, so that you can now look beyond yourself. And as the Holy Spirit works in you, you can begin to make steps in considering the interests of others as greater than your own. A couple practical examples might be, it would be a work of God's Spirit as you consider our non-English speaking neighbors around this church. These perhaps are people who don't know Christ and have no access to a Reformed gospel preaching church. By the grace of God, as you consider the interests of others as better than your own, may you consider volunteering to make our ESL ministry a place where people encounter the love of Jesus. Or by the grace of God, may you consider giving financially to our Spanish church fund so that we can call a qualified man to plant or to establish a Spanish-speaking church for our neighbors. Well, it's also a work of God's Spirit as you consider the covenant children of this church and their spiritual well-being. Now, though our children's ministry at this point may be small, by the grace of God, as you consider the interests of others as better than your own, may you at least know our children's names. May you treat them as you would your own children or your own nieces and nephews or grandchildren. By God's grace, may you use your abilities and gifts and talents to teach them Sunday school, to help out in children's worship, to participate in the Sunday evening ministry. And by the grace of God, may you be an exemplary servant of Jesus, looking out for the interests of others. Now, both Timothy and Epaphroditus exhibited other characteristics of exemplary service. And so moving on to our third point, exemplary service for the work of Christ is reliable and it is proven. In verse 22, Paul writes, "You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has shared with me in the gospel. At the end of the day, Timothy was dependable. When he agreed to do a job, he wasn't half-hearted. He followed through and he completed the task. His character was proven over time." Paul had an especially close father-son relationship with Timothy. And because of Timothy's proven reliability, Paul had utilized him for a number of ministry tasks. Timothy was sent to the less mature congregation in Thessalonica, and Timothy's job was to do his best to strengthen and encourage their faith, and he did that well. Timothy was also sent to the difficult congregation at Corinth. His job there was to do the work of the Lord, reminding them of how their way of life is to be transformed by Christ. They are to live differently now as those who walk with Christ. Paul often left Timothy behind to finish up work in the church while he moved on to a new area. But much of the time, Paul liked having Timothy right by his side, right there with him as a reliable co-laborer in the church. Well, in today's passage, we see that Paul hoped in the Lord to send Timothy to Philippi. Actually, it appears that that was the very reason they had sent Epaphroditus, that they had sent Epaphroditus to assist Paul so that Timothy could be freed up and go and serve at the congregation in Philippi. And the point is that Paul could trust Timothy, who had proven himself to be absolutely reliable. So what about us? Are you reliable? Do you keep your commitments? If you say you're going to be somewhere, are you there? Of course, we all make mistakes. But over the test of time, have you proven your reliability? And by God's grace, may he work that in us more and more. We also see Epaphroditus provide, or at least do everything in his power to provide reliable and proven service. Paul speaks very highly of him as a brother, a fellow worker, even a fellow soldier. Years before, Paul had been a proud Pharisee. And back then, Epaphroditus would have been ignored at best, despised at worst, simply because he was a Gentile. However, not so anymore. Paul now considers Epaphroditus a brother. Jesus had brought them into a deep relationship as true spiritual brothers. And not only that, Paul also considers him a fellow worker and a soldier in the work of ministry. Rather than competing or ignoring or despising one another, now there is perfect cooperation in the work of Christ. That is an example of how much Jesus changes people. And speaking of reliability, think about this. Epaphroditus traveled from the city of Philippi to Paul, who was in prison in Rome. That is a journey of about 1,200 miles. And for us today, this would be a half-day plane ride, or perhaps a two-day drive. Maybe a one-day drive if you're Steve Pothoven. However, back in that day, it would have been at least a journey of several weeks, if not even a couple months. Just the fact that Epaphroditus made this journey proves his reliability. And so, unfortunately, due to his illness, Epaphroditus was providentially unable to follow through on all of the service that he had hoped to provide for the Apostle Paul. And he was sent home early. To prevent any gossip from beginning, Paul sends Epaphroditus home with a glowing report, emphasizing that he almost died for the work of Christ. Paul wanted the Philippians to be sure that Epaphroditus was reliable and he had proven himself. He had done well. He had given himself completely to the work of Christ, and that is all that is required. And so in the same way with us, we are to give ourselves completely to the work of Christ. But God is the one who produces results within us. And sometimes we may providentially be sent home early. But if you have done your best, then you have given exemplary service to Christ. And so as we conclude this morning, Jesus is the Christian's model for exemplary service, and Timothy and Epaphroditus are model Christians. If you're not a Christian here this morning, may you see that you were created to give yourself completely to God. Yet our sin and our disobedience keeps us from Him. But that is exactly why Jesus came. Our third scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45 states, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ gave Himself completely to the point of death so that He could pay the ransom, the debt that we owed because of our sin. And so only in Him can you be forgiven and made right with God. And so may you experience the mercy of God in Christ through faith and repentance this morning. Would you call out to Him in prayer? Would you ask Him to save you? And then with joy and gratitude, may you begin to experience the life that is truly life. And if you already are a Christian, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may you become more and more like your Savior, Jesus Christ, and live a life of exemplary Christian service. You already know the joy that comes from God's grace. And so out of an overflow of this joy and with a love for Christ and his church, may you humbly look out for the interests of others. And over time, may your service to Christ and his church be proven and reliable as you give yourself completely to the work of Christ. And again, it is not by human effort that we accomplish this. It is only by the grace of God working in you. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks that you are merciful, that you are compassionate, that you are patient with us in our sin and rebellion and waywardness. Father, would you call us to yourself? Would you lead us to trust anew in our Savior, Jesus Christ? Would you cleanse us from our sin? Would you strengthen our faith? And by your power working in us, would you enable us more and more to live exemplary Christian lives for the sake of Christ our Savior? For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 420. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only.